I forgot my, what do you say? My thing, like prop. Thank you. This will work though. It'll work. And who am I going to pick on? I need a volunteer to pick on. I was going to pick on Pastor Tim, but I'm going to give him a pass this morning. I know, right? Everybody's like looking away from me. Don't look at me. Don't pick me. I'm going to pick on Mr. Bob. He's always up for a challenge. Come on, Mr. Bob. You got so much energy. I need somebody with energy, Mr. Bob. Yeah, okay, see, there you go. Welcome online to those watching online. Hello. I think he was the right one to pick. I think it's good. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about giving. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Very powerful.
Yeah, amen. The Holy Spirit is amazing. Praise God. So, I want you to jump. Okay, now I want you to jump and stay in the air for 10 seconds. Okay, great.
1, 2, 3.
Good job. That's all you had to do. Good job. Yeah, you're done. Okay, so I'm hoping this box of tissues is going to stay right here. But it didn't. Why? Why couldn't Mr. Bob stay it for 10 seconds and why can't this, why does that fall to the ground? The law of gravity. Do you all believe in the law of gravity? Oh. Go ahead, Mr. Todd. Those online, Mr. Todd just quoted the law of gravity. All right. Why do you all believe in the law of gravity? It's a truth. All right. That's good. Whose truth is it? It is God's truth. God, without gravity and the law of what we have going on, we would spin totally out of orbit, right? Oops, sorry. That's a law of my unathletic ability that I couldn't hit the target if I tried. But anyway, the law of gravity. So you believe that we knew when Mr. Bob jumped up, he was coming back down. If he had levitated in the air, we may have had to cast something out of him, right? Like, that's not normal. That's supernatural. That's like a weird thing, right? So we know that that would happen. So what I'm talking to you about is my son's face. It's so great. Anyway. I want to talk to you about the law of sowing and reaping. It's a truth, just like the law of gravity. Yet you trust the law of gravity, but do you trust the law of sowing and reaping? Come on. Amen. So some of you say yes, but some of you say yes without showing that you do, that you believe it. Because here's the deal. You never jump up and think, oh, I hope I don't get caught in a crosswind and get taken away. You're like, I know I'm coming down. You never throw something in the air thinking, as soon as someone hits a ball when you're playing baseball, you're like, where's the ball, right? Because you know it's coming down. Amen? Or at you or whatever, right? So, or clay throwers. Something gets thrown. It's coming at you. Well, what about sowing and reaping? How many times do people sow and they're like, well, I hope God's going to make a way. Well, then you don't really believe in sowing and reaping. Or how many of us, well, I just can't give my tithe. I have too many other bills. Well, then you don't believe in sowing and reaping. See, God's word is just as true as the law of gravity. But why don't we look at it that way? Because we totally say the law of gravity is going to happen. But we look at the word and we go, I hope it happens. Okay, well, then you think you believe more in the law of gravity than you do the word of God. And there's an issue with that. So I want to talk to you about, I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't really I'm okay with tithing. I love to tithe. I got a hold of tithing many, 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 many years ago. And it never really bothered me, but I'm like, I don't really understand, like, why did you do tithing? And this is what the Lord said to me. I don't have scripture back it, I'm just telling you what the Lord said. He said, I never meant for people to be self-reliant. See, a tithe shows that you're relying on God. Because if you're saying everything is from God, then you're saying, what's 10%? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. And I am going to get to scripture, I promise. If you had a bill collector, you know that collector's coming for you. You're more afraid of the bill collector than you are of God. Ouch. Because there's more people paying their bills than they pay their tithe. I'm preaching better than you shout, and maybe you're one of them, and I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you the truth. People are more afraid of man than they are God. So the Bible says in Malachi, and we go here all the time, so you might think, oh, we always see the scripture. Scripture never becomes dull. Scripture never loses its power or its truth. So I don't care if I read the same scripture every day. Now, obviously, you don't get the fullness of God if you read the same scripture. But the scripture that most talks about tithes and offerings to the point, the whole Bible is about sowing and reaping because that's who God is. God sowed Jesus, we reap salvation. See how that works? We didn't have to sow our firstborn, praise God. We didn't have to sow our firstborn, praise God. Come on. We don't even have to sow bulls and goats and all that other stuff. God took care of it and we reap the benefits. Come on. Tithing is the same way. I hear so many people, and I've asked the Lord, Lord, help me because I don't want to preach at the people. But I'm preaching at you because I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to ask. This is part of my gifting. I talk to my own self this way, if you want to know the truth. This is how I talk to myself, because I'm a black and white kind of person, and I've always been that way. It's just who I am. But I have to ask myself these questions, because if I don't ask myself the questions, I can't grow. So what do I really believe? What do you really believe? And talks about in Malachi 3, 8 through 12. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Plain and simple. I don't care what teaching you hear out there, that tithing is not for today. The Bible is clear. You rob him in tithes and offerings. I'm not even talking about offerings right now. I'm just talking about your tithe. And a tithe means a tenth. Amen. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? Right here. Okay? This is the storehouse. The local church is your storehouse. Offerings go to other places, or they go here too. that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So he doesn't tell you to do it and say, just live off the 90. That's how good he is. He doesn't ask for something without giving you something in return. But I hear a lot of people say, God is my source. Everything I have is from God, right? Well, if everything I have is from God and none of it's mine, why would I ever not tithe? Because it's not, then I really believe it's not mine. But if I'm just saying it because it sounds religious and good, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you. We have to ask ourselves, do I believe what I'm saying? Do I believe that everything I have is God's? Do I believe that he's the one that made a way? Because my paycheck is not where my source is. God is my source. If I wasn't a tither and a giver, then I guess I could say I have to keep working and working and working to get my paycheck. But I know that God blesses me because I'm a tither. That's part of my right. Because it says, down here, it says, now try me in this. He says, try me. So he's like, I dare you. I dare you. Try me. It says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, heaven's pretty big. Come on. And pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. Everybody talks about I'll rebuke the devourers for your sake. But if you're not a tither and a giver, he's not talking to you. So be a tither and a giver to protect the other 90% that you're holding on to. Come on. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what happens to our economy. I don't care what is going on. If I'm a tither, God is going to make a way. Because he says, try me now in this. He doesn't say, in famine, it might get a little iffy. He doesn't say, when things get a little tight, you can't tithe. No worries. I was getting ready to go to my street slang and say, dude, but I'm not going to do that. But listen, I get excited, and maybe I don't come across in the right way teaching it to you, but I'm glad that he is protecting all that I have. If he asked me for 100%, because I'd rather him be my provider than me have to be my provider. I've been there, done that. Worked 80 hours a week, trying to figure it out, trying to make a way. But when I trust the Lord and I'm a good steward, and I'm going to preach on that another time, being a good steward with what he's given you. Because you must be a good steward for him to trust you. So it's not just the tithe, but tithing is part of being a good steward because he's commanded it of you. And it's 10%. I think it's so funny when people ask me, now, Pastor Lacey, is that the gross or the net? The Lord is asking you for 10%. Are you giving to the government and then giving the rest to God? Or are you giving to God first? Because the government is not my God. I've had people say to me, well, I can't make more money because then I'm going to get off food stamps and I'm going to get off this. And I may play in your kitty litter here in a second, but who is your God? Who is your provider? Because I'm going to tell you what, if I was in that position and I have been there before, I'm working to be not on that because I don't want, the government isn't providing for me. And God brings increase. So if you're serving God and you want to stay where you've stayed, forget it. Because he's a God of multiplication and he's a God of increase. You're not staying where you are. If you're where you are right now and you're like, I want to increase, then you're in the right place. Start tithing and start giving because you won't stay where you are. Because God will take you and take you and take you because he will increase you. Have you not heard the testimonies of people getting promotions and checks in the mail and bonuses? That's increase. Praise God. In 1 hour or 2 hours of giving where the Lord led her, bam, he provided back and more than what she had given. That's the God we serve, the God of overflow. Everybody wants to overflow, but they don't want to release. You have to release to receive. You have to release and you have to ask yourself, do I believe this word? Do I believe that as I tithe and I give an offering, that God is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for me? Because faith without works is dead. So if you believe this, then you'll have no problem tithing, no problem offering, because you're like, I know my God. See, this is where it comes into, I know my God. I know that he will take care of me. So when I write that check, I don't look at it as a debit. I look at it as a credit to my account. I look at it as opening the door to my blessings. Because you can't decide I'm going to trust God in this area, but this area, maybe not. Because I'm going to ask you a question. And I know you all are tithers and givers, so maybe this whole message is for people online. And I don't care whose church you go to. You don't tithe to our church. You tithe to your local church. It's extremely important. I could share a testimony with you about that, but you tithe to your local church. You give offerings other places where the Lord leads you, right? But if you cannot release to be able to tithe, then you're trusting in your own ability. And God can't, what's God going to do about that? Because you've said, just kidding, I'll have you for my healing, my salvation. But when it comes to finances, I'm just going to trust myself and my own plan. Truly, you can look at me like I'm crazy. But your trust is not in the Lord. Because, listen, when your paycheck comes in, the first thing I do is write the tithe check. I don't pay any bill. I don't care if it looks like it's in the negative or not. I'm like, Lord, thank you that you're going to take care of that, whatever. Because I'm giving to the Lord because I'm trusting him. That's the first place it's going. I don't look at it and go, what bill can I pay? No, and God's not a bill to me. I'm happy to give. It says in, I thought I had it here. It says about God loves a cheerful giver in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, so let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It actually means like hilarious. A hilarious giver, right? So you think, well, that's just for giving offerings. Yeah, well, giving your tithe is still giving. So you still have to purpose in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how many of you budget. Everybody that knows me knows that big on being debt-free, you got to have a plan. Come on. But you always tithe. I don't look at a budget and go, well, there's no room for the tithe. No, the tithe goes in before everything else. Everything else can get cut out. What do you have in your life? That's the other thing. People tell me I don't have enough money to tithe. Okay. But you have to purpose in your heart. So I'm going to purpose in my heart to tithe and watch and see what God does. Purpose in your heart that no matter what, I'm going to tithe. If the cable gets turned off, if I can't watch cable, if I can't do, I don't know what people spend their money on. We live pretty, I don't know. What other things there are, subscriptions, all this other stuff. Who cares? Because I'm giving to God. He will provide exactly what you have need of. So you make a decision and purpose in your heart. And I'm not just doing it because you said I have to. I'm doing it, Lord, because I love you and you are my source. And I'm going to follow your command of what you told me to do. Just like he tells us to go out and share the gospel and witness. It's the same with tithing. Why don't we look at that? He tells us to tithe and give to him and watch what he will do. It's just like lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. You have to lay your hands on them, pray for them, and watch the healing come. But do you lay hands on people and think, I hope it happens? Maybe you do, don't answer. But another area, you got to trust the Lord. Because when I pray for people, when I speak the word, even when I don't see the change, I know the word never returns void. I know what the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So even if I cannot see it with my eyes, something is happening in the spiritual realm. So even when your bank account looks like, oh boy, this tithe, no, because I know God is making a way for me. Amen? So even when you can't see it, we don't walk by faith, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Good job. See, I was just testing you to see if you knew the word. Luke 16:11, it says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit it to trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? What you have is God's, not yours. If you can't prove to be faithful in what is his, but if you look at it as it's mine, you think it's all mine. See, this is where kingdom-mindedness comes in. And we don't understand kingdom-mindedness. Not in the United States. What I have is not my own. So if the Lord tells me, give this, give a seed, whatever, give your time, it's not mine anyway, because I'm his ambassador. I'm here for his mission. I'm not here for my own mission. My children have been entrusted to me of the Lord, but they're not mine. They're God's. I committed them to the Lord a long time ago, which when they were babies. I didn't baptize them. I committed them to the Lord. They had to make the choice to serve the Lord, right? My husband is my husband, but we have a mission together to serve the Lord. So everything I have is the Lord's. You have to make a decision. What am I serving? And it says, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's talking about money there. But I'm going to tell you, when you don't crucify your flesh, you can't serve your flesh and God at the same time. You will end up despising God and loving to do whatever your flesh speaks to you. And your flesh speaks loudly. That's why fasting and prayer is so important, because you tell your flesh to shut up. So it's the same with even giving a tithe. You may have to tell your flesh to shut up. I believe the word of God over what my flesh is speaking to me. I'm deciding right now, whatever comes in, I'm giving 10% to the Lord. And then I'm going to determine I'm going to give an offering. Lord, where do you want me to sow it? Because you're here for the kingdom. It's about building the kingdom. So this is what I want you to say this morning. And also I want you to know that, you know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So when you first start sowing and giving a seed and giving a tithe, you may be like, ooh, my bank account. And you know what you say? Lord, I thank you that my bank account is full. Lord, I thank you that all my bills are paid and I will not have lack, because you said to try you in this. So money come forth in Jesus' name. What are you speaking? Are you going to look at it and go, oh, I don't have any money. I have no money to do that. We've changed it to saying, not yet, we'll be back for you. If something's a little out of the price range, not yet, I'll be back for you. Because I'm walking in overflow. Whether I see it or not, that's what the Lord has promised. So that's what I'm going to walk in. Amen? And don't limit God to your bank account. People may show up with new cars, may show up with land for you, may show up with clothes for you. The Lord showed up for us plenty of times with food when we had nothing. You know, anything is possible. We had somebody stop on the side of the road, hand us a check. I had made a decision. I wasn't using my credit card anymore, because that's not in faith to be carrying a balance and have that credit card. No, I'm not, because the Bible says I'm to be a lender, not a borrower. And I had made a decision I wasn't using my credit card, and we needed new tires. And literally, I was getting ready to walk over to a prayer meeting. It's when we lived in Pennsylvania, and we were tithers. We had always tithe. And I don't know if many of you have heard the story, but whew, it was tight. Some of you know what it's like to be tight after Bible school, in Bible school, everything. And I think new tires were like $400 and some back then, $300, I don't know. I knew exactly what we needed. And I had a little bit of money, but I didn't have enough. And I started to walk. The church was like literally across the road from our house. Another testimony how that all came about. And this van came by, a white van. Ladies, you do not stop and talk to white vans. Like, that is not safe, okay? And this van just stopped. Is Pastor David there? I'm like, no, I did know the guy. But I was like, no, he's not here. He goes, here, the Lord told me to do this. And he handed me a check for the exact amount that we needed for the tires. Praise God. You know, like, we bought a house in Pennsylvania without and ever going to market. The Lord told me the day before we were moving back to Pennsylvania. I'm telling you this because as a tither, you have rights. I want you to see that blessings are looking for you. We knew we were coming back to Pennsylvania, or going to Pennsylvania, not coming back. But anyway, going to Pennsylvania. We had gone to look for houses. Every time, my spirit was like, no, 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 no. The Lord said, I knew when we got off the road that the church was on, that that's where we were supposed to be. There's like 10 houses on that road. And the Lord said, you're going to have the number of the people that live across the street from the church before the day's out. I was like, oh my gosh. It's weird to call somebody and ask them, if you ever think about selling your house, it's just weird. So anyway, I called him and I said, listen, if you're ever interested in selling your house, we'd buy it. She said, well, I was listening tomorrow with a real estate agent. I said, okay, well, can you like not list it? That would be great. I didn't know how many bedrooms the house was. I didn't know. My uncle had been in the house once, but he didn't even know I had called. He said, I think it'd be okay, house. If you ever met my great uncle, you could hear him saying that. But, so we went back. We looked at it. It was great. We paid her what she wanted, and we had to live somewhere else for about 3 months. But we bought the house. No realtor. Nothing. The Lord called us home. We bought the house. David always tells the story. High, right? We bought it high, the height of the market or something. And then we were selling it low. And and so we couldn't afford to have a realtor no matter what. So we just, the Lord told us, it's time to go home, start a church. So we were like, okay. So we cleaned the house. I called a realtor friend and said what to do. She told me what to do. And within the very first day, we had our own open house. We had an offer that night for exactly what we were asking for. So we didn't lose any money. And people said, oh, you'll never sell your house without a realtor. I said, oh, you don't know my God. I found a house without a realtor. I'll sell a house without a realtor. Come on. Because God called us back here. God told us to go there. God made a way. And it was the perfect little house. I mean, everything. It was great. Exactly what we needed. And everyone said, oh, no, it won't happen. Yeah, it will happen. But that's a tither's right. See, I was trusting God for everything. What are you trusting the Lord for? We want to look at like, oh, I got this big check in the mail. But what about all the other blessings that the Lord has for you right around the corner? Because God has blessings looking for you because he's going to keep his promise. He is not a man that he should lie. So when you tithe, you need to know all my needs are taken care of. He is going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. Somebody tries to come after my money? No. Because God will rebuke the devourer for my sake. And I want to tell you something that I heard the other day, and it really blessed me. Sometimes when things look a little tight, you need to make sure. Sometimes God has another person that's going to be supplying something for you, and they got to get their own flesh right. So it's not that you've done anything wrong. It just might be the Lord's working on somebody. But you just keep standing in faith, it's going to come through. Amen? So don't start beating yourself up. So this is what I want you to say. I'm a tither, I'm a giver, so I'm a receiver. Amen. So there's ways to give on thanks. There's a mailing address. I always say Caleb does, he's like fantastic at this. Online, Venmo, and you can mail it. Praise God. So if you're a tither, you're a giver, then you better be ready to receive. You better be expecting. Ushers, you better get up because I'm going to get ready to tell you to serve the people. Yep, come on. Come up here. So get your envelopes out. Get your phones out. Do whatever. But as you tithe today, and I'll challenge you to give a seed too, as you do that, I want you to be expecting whatever it is that you need to be taken care of for the Lord to take care of it. I want you to say, Lord, I'm trusting you today. I am trusting you. I am trusting what your word says. Help me with my unbelief. If you need to say that, it's fine. The Lord is about your heart. He already knows what you're dealing with. So be real with God. He's real with you. You need to be real with God. If you're like, man, this is going to be a faith step, take the step of faith. Decide today that I'm serving God, not mammon. I'm not serving my bill collectors. I'm serving God. And I'm going to tithe and I'm going to give to him. And I'm going to watch the windows of heaven be poured out and blessings upon me. So go ahead, ushers, serve the people. Amen. And decide today that this is your step of faith. It says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons will even tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? This is a step of faith. As you sow, as you tithe and you give an offering, it's a step of faith to say, Lord, I trust you. I know you'll take care of me and all that I have. Thank you, ushers. So just lift your hands to receive, because you're a receiver.
Thank you, Father.
As you give, as you release, be ready to receive.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for these tithes and offerings. I thank you for the faith of the people, Father God. I thank you for your word that says you'll rebuke the devourers for our sake. Lord, I thank you for multiplication upon this seed. Lord, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Ha, ha. Thank you, Lord, for the seeds that are sown here, fruit that remains. Lord, I thank you that you will multiply, that every need will be met in the mighty name of Jesus. And more. I thank you for overflow coming out of the seed. I thank you that we will see the things that you have promised. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you are making a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, I thank you that you're working upon our hearts as we release of this seed to you, as we trust you. Lord, I thank you that you're showing us the areas we need to even trust you deeper. Lord, I thank you for all that you are doing, all that you've done, and all that you are going to do. I thank you that as we plant this seed in the ground, there will be a harvest. Ha ha, thank you. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. We glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As I'm sitting there worshiping the Lord, standing worshiping the Lord, praying to God, getting over into his presence, I'm thinking to myself, I may not be ministering today. And then I got thinking, the message I have isn't for today. Because there's no way we're going to get through it. So I'm going to pray. And just as you're believing God and have been believing God, I'm going to believe God with you for the message that he has for you. Amen? And when you say, we say we walk by faith, not by sight, today's going to be the day that the sermon's going to be by faith, not by sight, and not by preparation. It's going to be a divine appointment from heaven, because that message is not for today. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that we do walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the inner witness on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit guides and directs our words, our actions, our thoughts, and even our intents of the heart, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that as we go today as a body of believers under the presence of Almighty God to hear the word of the Lord today, Father, I thank you that you reveal it with such an anointing and a power and a presence that it touches each and every heart. Those listening online, wherever they are, all around the world, Father God, I thank you that the Holy Ghost in power interjects into their spirit man here this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said amen. 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 Well, God is good. Praise God. Go to John 1. John 1 we're going to go to. And the sound team, just go with me. We're going to start at John 1, and we're going to go to John 5, or not that long. John 1, verse 1 to verse 5. And as we were worshiping today, praising God, seeking the Lord, there was a common theme that kept coming, the Word of God, the Word of God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord was just speaking to my spirit, the Word of God. The word of God, the name of Jesus, they're one and the same. They're one and the same. And and as you read your Bible and do your devotion, you'll find out that it's Jesus speaking to you. Amen. And when you pray and you hear the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's the word speaking to you. It's the kingdom of heaven speaking to you. And God is constantly interjecting His word into our lives, because there's power in that word. And that word continues to develop us and strengthen us and raise us up and perfect us into what God has called us to be, church. And when you realize this, you don't want any other words but the word. You don't want a false word. You don't want a half-truth word. You don't want somebody's opinion word. You want the word that's going to make a difference. The word that's going to impact you and change your life forever. Amen. And that's why you're here today. It's because you want the word of God. You don't want an opinion. Amen. You don't want Pastor David to stand up here and just give you some type of illustrated opinion about something. No opinions. Amen. We need the word of God because that brings the change. So when we hear something and when we go through our lives, we need to realize that words have power. And the best word is the word of God that has supreme power and authority over everything else. Because there's words going forth all the time. Pastor Lacey talked about sowing and reaping. We've all sown some negative words we probably shouldn't have sown. Right? And they have power and they're planted there. But the word of God, through repentance, has the ability to take that dead seed that we planted that's getting ready to produce something bad and uproot that thing and change the whole circumstance. Amen. I'm speaking to your hearts. Because I'm telling you, you may have spoke something to your spouse, to a family member at Thanksgiving, or to somebody else that you shouldn't have spoke. And I'm telling you, that is planted because you spoke it out there. But the power of God has the ability to uproot some things that aren't of God. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to understand this because we believe in sowing and reaping. And when you believe in it, it covers the whole gamut. It covers when you sow positive, you reap positive. You sow love, you reap love. You sow negative, you reap negative. But there's when you repent and you realize you messed up, God has the power to uproot that negative thing and change that whole situation. You may have done something physically to your body that you shouldn't have done. God has the power to heal that thing. You may have had a thought that was a negative thought. God has the power to renew that thing according to His word, not your thought. All right, and that's the power that God has through His word, that if we obey it and live by it, we're going to see it come to pass. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. If you have your Bible, you can put there, in the beginning was Jesus. Wherever you see the word capitalized, you can put Jesus there. Jesus and the Word are one and the same. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus didn't show up at Christmas time. All right? That's not His first showing up on earth. Jesus was here in the very beginning. Some of you believe that. Some of you are like, is this guy crazy? I can't believe the pastor said. Yes, He showed up in the flesh. But He was already here in the Spirit. He was already here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is literally, right here, your Bible is God's Word to His people. It is the redeeming manual for mankind, right here. And it has the power to redeem all that man has fallen short of. All, every sin, every mishap, every mess up, every curse, every lie, every misfortune, the Word has the power to change that. The Word has the power to change that. Notice, if something is in the beginning, that means it's very foundational, isn't it? The beginning of something is the very atom or the molecule, and you can get the science side of things if you speak to Mr. Bob. You can get that technology if you want. But you have former farmer Pastor Dave. So the very small thing that starts things is where it comes from, all right? The foundation. When you find the foundation of something and you understand its foundation, when you realize that, you can fix everything else after that. Hear me out. When you realize what the root of something or the foundation of something, when you can get to that place, you can fix whatever is built after that because you're dealing with the very foundation of it. So the Word was the foundation of creation. So all of creation after its foundation, when God spoke it into existence, can be fixed by God and will be. Amen? And what doesn't get fixed, He has a place for it. And He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. God has the power to change everything. Every situation. There's always hope with God. Amen. Because His word is the foundation of life and creation. You getting this? Amen. You can take your situation and say, I got the victory. Because I know my God was the foundation. Before the earth was formed, God knew. God knew what was going on. God knew what today was going to hold. God knew when I messed up. He knew that was going to happen, and he already sent a redeemer. He already sent a fix for my problem. That's what the word says. That's the power of the word. And the word doesn't return void. So when you understand in the beginning was Jesus the Redeemer, he already knew, God already knew he was going to have to send his son in the very, very beginning because of the fall of man. He already knew it. And he already made a way. So there's nothing new under the sun. What we're dealing with today is not too big for God. Your situation, never get to the place where you have no hope. Right here, the word gives you hope. The word gives you hope. The Bible says hope is an anchor to the soul. So every thought that we have, if it's not anchored correctly in the word of God, it has the ability to float us away to places we need not be. Thoughts will take you captive into places where you shouldn't be. But when you put your thoughts in line with God's word and renew your mind to his word, bam, you have an anchor to your mind where your mind doesn't get distracted by things. It doesn't get swayed by things. It doesn't get affected if things go wrong. Yeah, things are going to happen. There is struggles in life we do not have answers for that we can think of, but God knows. God already has the answer. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say, in the beginning was the Word. I have you confess things because you're speaking that out. And when you speak it, you can attach your faith to it and believe it. Amen. Amen? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you speak God's word and you hear it, your faith attaches to it. And it becomes more of a truth than what you were believing before. That's the power that the word has, that you can confess it over your life. And you can literally change your life by your confession. Because the word comes alive when you speak it, and it starts doing a work in your life. Amen. Amen. Not just your thoughts, but in your physical body. He sent the word and healed them. I'm going to end up preaching some of my sermon. I believe it's Matthew 8. Hold your finger there, paper there. Go to Matthew 8, verse 8. Matthew 8, verse 8, this is talking about Jesus heals the centurion's servant. It says in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Notice who's the one speaking. That the word there is not capitalized, but the one speaking it is. Okay? Jesus, the Lord, he says, I am not worthy that you shall come under my roof, but only speak a word. A word from God can heal a man's body. A word from God can transform your life, your family, your marriage, and your future. Because it's who is the one speaking. So get a hold of this. When you speak the word, it's like God speaking himself. You totally missed that. When you speak God's word, it's God literally speaking to you. So when you say, by his stripes, I am healed, that's like God coming and saying, daughter, you are healed. You are the healed of the Lord. So that's the power that's in the word in your mouth if faith is attached to it. If you believe what the word says and you speak it, it's literally God speaking it to your life. That's why demons can flee. That's why sickness has to go. Amen. Amen. The word has such power. Last week, Evangelist Nick, what did he talk about? Believing. Your belief system. You believe and speak this, it's heaven speaking. It's the power of Almighty God backs these words up. So when you speak them by faith, it's literally like Jesus is literally coming on the scene and he's showing up. And when God shows up, nothing else can do anything. everything has to submit to God. That's the power of the word. And it's not the power necessarily in you. It's your belief system believing that God's word is true. You don't have to see something to believe it. You just have to believe it and you'll see it. Notice the difference. The world wants to see everything to believe it. But God's word says speak it and then you'll see it. And if we can understand that, there's no demon in hell and nothing on this earth that can stop the believer from seeing what the Word of God says, as long as they believe it. Amen. When you believe it, you shall see it, because His Word doesn't return void. It cannot. And the centurion said that. He's like, just speak a word and my servant will be made whole. What authority that man had, that centurion had. You don't even have to come to my house. Just speak a word and he'll be made whole. What faith? And Jesus said, I haven't seen that much faith anywhere. Anywhere. And it was a soldier that did it. Back to John. There's so much power in the word if you can believe it. There's zero limitation with God except for your doubt. Your doubt and unbelief is what hinders everything. Everything. If we went around the room, not in this room, but if you went around and you had a big audience, everybody has a different belief system. Everybody has different levels to what they believe or not believe. And that's what dictates what you're going to see. Because I'm going to do a sermon on it, many sermons, once I get studying it out more. But I want to tell you, he's given you a measure of faith to move mountains. Mustard seed faith. That mustard seed never left. It just got covered up by doubt. By doubt and unbelief. It's not a faith problem. It's a doubt problem. Yep. Everybody's like, and I preach this, go exercise your faith. I am exercising my faith. Has the pastor ever told you, just believe God a little more? I've said that to people. Just release your faith a little more. You're doing great. Just exercise it a little more. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Get doubt and unbelief away. It was doubting Thomas. He doubted. The disciples that couldn't cast out the demon. Jesus said this comes out through prayer and fasting. Why were they praying and fasting? To get rid of doubt and unbelief. When Jesus said to Peter, come out of the boat, and he started sinking. What was he? He sank because he looked and he doubted because of what he saw. It wasn't his faith that changed. It was his doubt that increased. And so often we blame things on faith, but it's the doubt and the unbelief that is ratcheted up, that is covered up. If a mustard seed faith can get you saved and move that mountain in your life, oh, that's all it takes. For miracles to happen. Amen. What's the limitation to a miracle? Doubt. Not believing it can happen for you. Let me study it out more. It's coming. It's coming. It wrecked my theology. Because I'm a faith man. And I knew about faith. Till I heard a message that's changed my life about faith. Because it shipwrecks people's faith when you tell them they don't have it. And I'll just be honest with you. There's times where I've said things I probably shouldn't have said about faith. That people are going through things. But it's the doubt. It's the doubt. Because God said, I've given everyone a measure of faith. And that measure of faith is saving faith. And that's before they knew God. That's before they lived right. That's before anything about works. It was saving grace that got them into heaven. And I hear that and I think to myself, we're trying to kick people around and say they don't have enough faith. They got enough faith to move the mountain. Every single one of you has enough faith to move every single mountain in your life if you believe that God can do it for you. Amen. Today, your mountain can be moved if you believe God can do it for you. Hallelujah. If doubt is out of the way, God, the glory of God will move every single mountain for you. Amen. It's not a faith problem. It's a doubt problem. There's a book Jesse Duplantis has out. It says, I Never Learned to Doubt. Victorious man of God. Moves in many different things. He decided he's not going to doubt. He's going to believe God in every single area. He's 40-some years in ministry, never had a financial deficit, ever. He just doesn't doubt. He believes God. His faith is no greater than anybody else's. It's just he's controlled his doubt issue. Okay, what's that about John? Let's go back to John. Amen. This is a wonderful message today. We don't know the title, but the Lord has something for each of us. Amen. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if anybody says, I don't know if this Bible's for today, this is God. The Bible is God. It's God's inspired word to mankind. It's God breathed. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's where we get part of the Trinity. Amen. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. Amen. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, so that confirms that. I'm glad we got that straight. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. That's its own verse right there because it's so powerful. He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus and the Word were in the very beginning with God. Amen. Verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. I know that sounds confusing, but it's not. All things were made through Him. All of creation was made through the Word. When you understand that truth, all of creation has to operate through the Word. If it was created by the Word, it has to operate through the Word. That means the Word can fix everything. If you're wondering how to counsel someone or how to help someone, the Word. The Word created that person, and the Word can fix what they're going through. Whatever the enemy throws at someone's life, however bad it gets, the Word is the answer. The Word's the foundation of life. It's the foundation of creation. Take things back to the original creation, and that's when you find where you can get healing and health. You do not take your Ford car to a BMW dealer to get it fixed. You take it to the place that they're trained to fix it. God knows what every single person has need of. No matter their spiritual level, no matter their lack of spiritual level, no matter if they have 5 demons or 25 demons, it doesn't matter. It's still the Word. The Word still fixes the situation. Nothing is too big for God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Sounds like a tongue twister. I think he's getting across here that everything was made by God. That pretty much seals the deal. So when you understand that, you realize that everything on this earth that was made by God, that means if it is not godly, that means it's been perverted by the enemy. All right? So we as believers must realize and discern and see, hey, if something isn't from God, or if something someone is speaking isn't of God, it's been perverted by something else. And when you understand these truths, you can judge, not judge in a bad way, but you can discern right from wrong. If someone comes to me and says, you know, a husband comes to me, well, the Lord's telling me to divorce my wife. No, you're a liar. You've been perverted by something called your flesh that thinks you should have something different than what you have covenant with. God's a God of covenant. That's your covenant. Amen? So you can see these things based off of what? The Word, not my opinion. When someone comes to you asking for your thoughts on something, don't give your opinion, give the Word. Amen. When you pray about a situation, pray the Word. Don't pray your opinion, because the Word is what's going to work. Because the Word was the very foundation of what created mankind. So everything man deals with, the Word can fix. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is God meaning there? In him, in Christ, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. That tells us that through Christ, we not only have life, but we have light. And it gives us life in this dark and lost world. So wherever there's darkness, what's going to bring the light to it? The Word. You're going to find out something. You need to be in a Word church. You need to be around people that know the Word, that pray the Word, that believe the Word, that trust the Word, that live by the Word, that their character backs up the Word. Amen. It's about the Word. Amen. And it's not just quoting the Word, it's believing the Word. As Pastor Lacey was minister on tithes and offerings, I heard a minister say one time, I'd rather have, because 10% is the tithe and 90 is yours to use as the Lord leads you. He says, I'd rather have 90% blessed than 100% cursed. And I heard that and I'm like, here's my tithe. Thank you very much. Amen. Because I know the Word is going to bless that 90 and it'll make sure I have everything I have need of. Because the Word doesn't lie. So when God says tithe, I say, yes, sir. I'd be happy to. Because the creation of my finances in my whole life is you. So I'm going to look to you for all the answers. So when you say jump, I say how high? You say go, I say where? When? And do exactly what he says to do, because that's the foundation of life. So when the Word says I'm healed, I don't have to question it. I'm healed. When he says I'm rich, I'm rich. When he says I'm going to heaven, hey, praise God, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to worry about life. I don't have to worry about COVID, because the Bible doesn't say COVID is bigger than the Word. No, the Word works all the time. He's my protector. He's my guide. How do I know this? The Word. You say, well, that sounds private. No, it's confidence. It's confidence in who God is. And when you know that, when you have God on the inside and your hope rests in Him, it anchors you where I don't care how big the waves are. You're like, we're good. Jesus has got me hooked. I'm in. I don't have anything. What can man do to me? Not a thing. Man can't do anything. Why? Because the Word already established my path in my life. The Word, He already knows what He has for me. I'm just finding out all the good things He has for me. People say, why? Well, as a Christian, you know, what's the good thing about it? The good thing about it is not only hope of eternal life, but every day I have someone with me, guiding me and directing me, giving me a peace that passes my little understanding. Amen. I can live each day based off of the Word of God instead of the Word of man. Why do I not worry about what the news says? That's man's word. It's not God's word. You know, I'm not against the news. I'm not against doctors, but they're not the final word. The Bible's the final word. People are like, why do you carry your Bible? Why do you trust? Because that's my life source. That's what brought me into this earth, and that's what's going to carry me out. Until then, I'm going to live by it. What a statement, what a life to live for God when you know God's got you in every area. I don't have to fear a thing. I don't have to fear a thing. Verse 4, in Him was life. That word life there is living soul. And the life was the light of men. And this is what, as a believer, this is what gives you compassion for those that do not know the Lord. Right there. Life was the light of men. There's so many people walking around in darkness, blind to the things of the Spirit, blind to their eternal well-being, blind to that there's a real hell, blind to all these things. That gives me a hunger on the inside to fight for people's souls. Because He is the light of man. And when men cannot see or women cannot see, it helps, it shows me and tells, man, I got to share Jesus with them because that's their life source. They're missing out on what I have and what God has provided for me. I need to go and let them know. How selfish of me to be like, I'm free, but you're bound. Good luck. No. It makes you want to weep and cry because there's people that don't know the truth and they're not free. They're not free. And the church is more worried about having a chicken dinner. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There's plenty of community events that can do things to help those areas and raise money in those areas. No, the church is a spiritual matter. It's life or death. The word is alive and it's real. And it touches and changes the heart of man. It will change a marriage like never before. The word is so powerful. And it's always true. Verse 4, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There is the gospel message. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. The enemies, he's blinded the eyes. He's blinded the minds of people. They can't see the glorious gospel. They don't know how much power is in the word. They think this is another book. They think Sunday morning is just some ritual. They think it's a cult. They look at it and say, I can't go there. I'm not good enough to go there. The reason we're here is because we found out we're not good enough. That's why all of you are here. You realize, I need a Savior. I need a Lord. I need a God that's going to help me through this messed up life. Jesus, help me. That's Sunday morning. We're all coming together thanking God for saving us, delivering us, setting us free. Amen. But the world is out there thinking we're goody two-shoes in here. We're not good at all without God. We're just filthy rags, the Bible says. That's nasty. You know when you really dig out what filthy rags is? Oh, yeah. It's not oil stained. It's blood stained. Filthy. Stinking. Dirty. Feel communion message coming out of that. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That tells me any place that is dark does not have the true comprehension of what God says. And yes, we've been born again as believers, but we need to renew our minds and we need to put our flesh under, because we have areas that may have shades of darkness in them because we haven't seen the truth in that area. Yeah, we're born again. Yes, we're going to heaven. Yes, we love the Lord. Yes, we're believing God. But there's things called knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we're growing. Wait, just because you learn to walk doesn't mean you learn how to do everything else. You know what I mean? You got to grow in God. You got to develop and study to show yourself approved. Grow spiritually. Amen. Start understanding and discerning spiritual things, seeing things for what they are. Amen. Not one of us understands fully how to put our flesh under. Paul says, I die daily. He worked on it every day because he knew he needed to. There was areas he was still working on because he wanted more light. He wanted more revelation. Why? Because he wanted to serve God and fulfill the call of God on his life. And we as believers need and must do the same thing. We must realize that yes, when we're born again, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes, spiritually we're cleansed. Amen. We're perfect. We're white as snow in God's eye. God looks at us and say, you're a beautiful child. Yeah, sure does. Sure does. But you got a flesh. You got emotions and feelings and a life that you're living in that has darkness around you. And if we as believers turn a blind eye to the darkness around us, it will come in. You must take a stand. And stand by faith and trust the word and allow the light to keep shining. You must. Just because your heart's born again and has the Holy Spirit, you still must be drinking and taking in the new wine. Your wine that you got at your new birth is not enough to carry you through this life in fullness, in power, in brightness. Why are some believers, they're believers, but they're not excited about God? They don't share God. They're not excited about what the Lord is doing. They're not praying and spending time with the Lord. What is it? That's the fire's gone cold. So there is an enemy that's trying to keep and steal that word from you. There's whole chapters about the word trying to be stolen out of your heart. The parable of the sower talks about it. Talks about how the seed, the word, can be stolen from you. Don't let it. Amen. Take that word and sow it. Let it grow and get more word in you. Plant that. You never stop learning, church. Amen. I'm finding things out that I thought I knew. I'm like, oh, Lord, what was I thinking? What was I really believing? Because more revelation comes. And now we hear all these testimonies this morning about what the Lord is doing. Why is he doing that? Because of the word. The word in you, he's taking you to help other people. That's what that is. The church isn't to come and receive everything. The church is to get filled up and go and release it. Amen. Amen. If you come to church Sunday morning empty, it should be because you released the kingdom all week long. Don't. It shouldn't be the enemy beat me up all week. Oh, I got some of the Pastor Lacey anointing just then. Hey, the enemy's defeated. Kick him to the curb, man. Stomp on his head. He's done. He does not have any power. Don't be a Christian that allows the enemy to beat you up all week. Amen. Jesus already whipped him. Amen. Amen. Just use him to just stand and just go after people. Love on people. Help people. Pray with people. Share the love of Jesus with people. Share the word with them. Amen. If someone comes to you, find a scripture that you can pray with them. Because if you can't find a scripture to pray with them, that means you're praying out of your opinion. Oh, and we all want pastor to stop preaching. That's the truth. When you just pray some prayer just off the cuff, how do you know if it's half truth, partial truth, no truth? Nobody knows. And then you don't get a result because you didn't pray the word. But no matter, pray the word no matter what. Take a scripture. If you need help, I'll help you. Call me, text me, say, hey, I just talked to this person. They're dealing with this. Can I have some scripture to help me out? Yeah, sure. Here, and send it to them. Text it to them. Pray with them. Call them. Do something because the word has the power to bring the change. Not your opinion. Not your theological prayer. All right? It's the word. It is the word that works every time. Every single time. You cannot pray the word and not get a result. Because it does not return void. It cannot. Unless you're just quoting it and your life doesn't back it up at all. That's a whole another sermon. Faith has to be attached to the word. Because I could give this Bible to someone out there that doesn't even know the Lord and say, just quote this scripture. There's going to be an element of power to it because it's the word of God. But when you have faith attached to it and you're believing God with it, it puts a little dose of the Holy Ghost and the power on it. And it brings about miracle working change. Amen. Because the more you know the attributes of God and who God is, the more powerful your prayer life will be. Amen. It'll settle in your spirit. It becomes who you are. I've prayed with people and I've had people pray with me. And I've noticed a huge difference in their faith level by the way they pray. There's an authority when somebody knows. There's an authority behind it. Just like when people sing. There's some people that can sing a song and it's just a song. There's someone else that can sing the same exact song that's anointed. And I'm telling you, it'll bring people to Jesus. And it's the same song. Why is that? The word in them. The anointing of God. You, each and every one of you, are anointed vessels by God. That when you believe this word, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles follow you. They will chase after. Angels are hearkening unto what? The word of God. So when you pray the word and you believe the word, God is sending angels on your behalf to work for you. And people are like, I don't know how this happened. Angels? Somebody was praying for you. And the Lord saw fit to honor his word and change your circumstance. How did somebody get healed when the doctor said, no, it can't happen? How? The word of God. I thank God my mom prayed for me. I thank God people that pray for me. I thank God for you that pray for me. And if you don't, please start, but put faith with it. Amen. Don't play some flippant prayer that you some opinion about me. I don't want that prayer. I curse that prayer in Jesus' name. Pray the word for me, that the Lord will open a door of utterance, that the anointing of God, amen, that the calling will come upon me, and that signs, wonders, all the, pray the word. Pray the Ephesian prayers over your life. Pray 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, before you go to work and before you talk to your spouse in the morning. Pray that prayer. It'll bring so much conviction on you on the way you talk. You'll be like, you'll walk out and just give your wife a hug. Because the love of God will come on you when you pray his word. Amen. The prayer that Jesus prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reverencing God before anything else. You pray that prayer, it'll start working on you. You can't help but love somebody. You can't help but serve God because the word is already working. Amen. That's why when I go to counsel somebody, I'm going to pray in the spirit first. Amen. Get the heart of God so I can get in there and do the work that needs to be done. Not just my opinion. You know, you see something happen and then you form a judgment on how it should be fixed. But you're not fixing the problem at all. Am I perfect at this? Absolutely not. But I'm trying. Amen. With the Lord's help, I'm going to get it done. Am I the best minister? Absolutely not. But God is the best minister. God knows what he's doing. And I believe he's doing something in you right now. Because you can't minister the word without change coming. There is no way we can say we believe in the Bible, preach the Bible, and not expect a change. Ever. Ever. Never. Can you preach and teach the word of God, believe it, and not get a result? Yeah. Everyone, bow their heads, close their eyes. Hallelujah. You listening online, thank you for joining us. I thank you that the word of God is even ministering to you right now. Father, I thank you that even scripture is going to come alive. The word of God, you're going to give them scripture and verse for what they're dealing with, Lord. To equip them, to empower them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're a God that hears our prayers. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. You're Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And your word says, your ears are open to the prayers of the saints. Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith pleases God. And it is the word of God that gives you the faith to believe him. So if you're listening online and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I pray you do so now. It's a believing and a confession. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be transferred from death to life. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. And you're coming back again for me. Thank you, Jesus, that I am born again. I am saved. I am forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Hallelujah. If you have the faith to do that, you have the faith to overcome this world. That's Bible. That's Scripture. The Apostle John spoke on that. He that overcomes the world by faith in Jesus Christ. What are you dealing with today? What are you dealing with today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Huh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God is speaking to His people. The Word is working. The Word is working. It was here from the beginning. And it'll be here to the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. God knew every need that you had before you were born. God knows what you're going through even right now. And He sent His Word to save you, to deliver you, to heal you, and to set you free. From every form of darkness, every sin, every shortcoming, every area of lack, every lie of the enemy, every curse from hell, the Word was sent to deliver you. If you're struggling with thought patterns, you're struggling with, I don't know how to deal with this situation. It's beyond what I know. That's exactly where God can work with you. When you get to the end of self and you say, Lord, I can't do it. I need your help. Here He is, boom. Entering in. As I said earlier, it's not a faith problem. It's a doubt problem. Mustard seed faith will move that mountain. Whatever you're struggling with, you have enough faith for the mountain to move if you can believe it can be moved. Remove all doubt. Remove all words that people have spoken. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. There's people that said that about me as a pastor. You're not going to make it. You don't know my God. I'm not the one that's going to have to make it. God called me to do it. So He's the one that's going to make it. You're going to make it. Each and every one of you is going to make it. God called you for such a time as this. You think He messed up? I'm born in the wrong century. I wish I was born. No. You were born at the right time for such a time as this to make it. To overcome, to be a vessel of honor fit for the Father's use. That's who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. Called and equipped, empowered, enlightened to do exactly what the Lord would have you to do. Whatever He's calling you to do. Just believe that God's going to help you do it. That's all it is. You don't have to study it out or how many people have failed at doing it. The Bible says, think on pure things, holy things. There's not enough time to be thinking on negative, to be worrying about this or worrying. There's not enough time for that. Worrying cannot add one cubit to your stature, the Bible says. So I don't have to pray in fear about anything. I pray in faith, because worry does nothing. All worry does is limit you from your blessing. It adds more time before you receive what God wants for you. That's what worry does. That's what fear does. It holds you back from what God has for you now, because you're thinking on negative things. Don't worry about anything. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Power to get the job done. A sound mind so you have clear thinking. Love, because love never fails. Those are the things we should think on. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What should we be focused on? The kingdom of God. Not what we're eating for the football game today, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. That's the victory. Thinking on the things of God. What a novel idea. What a novel idea. Maybe, just maybe, what this minister is saying will actually work. Let me just give you a cue. It's worked since Genesis with men and women of God that were not good enough, not able, not from a wealthy family, not first in line for the heir. He used normal people doing normal things, living a normal life, and his spirit came upon them and power came upon them to do great attributes and have great victories for God. You look at Abraham, you look at Isaac, you look at Jacob, you look at Moses, David, whatever name you want to put there in the Bible. God used them. When they were ill-equipped and unable, God saw fit. Part the Red Sea. Who would have thought? Kill the biggest, baddest giant in the land that everybody feared. A little shepherd boy. Who would have thought? You're a giant slayer. Did you know that? You're a giant slayer. Because the Word of God says you are. Darkness has to flee when you say the name of Jesus. Some people give the enemy too much power in their life. There's one name that destroyed all the works of darkness, and its name is Jesus. If there's any darkness in your life, anything that has darkness attached to it, I'm telling you, the Word of God has the power to deliver that. The Word of God has the power to deliver that. I want to thank those listening online. God bless you. We'll see you next time. As for those here, there is a power that's been made available to you.